So, going viral.
I just did that about 4 minutes.
Yeah, Chris went a little bit viral a few minutes ago with his dance. I mean, isn't it cool if you post something and it gets a lot of attention? You know, never experienced that. Caleb's like, oh yeah, I only ever got like 2 likes. You know? Yeah, I mean, it's very cool. We need to are we recording, Kyle? Okay. It is very cool to when you post something and people are interested in it, isn't it? I mean, that's kind of what's cool about social media. Now, what you got to understand is, during my day, if you wanted to have a platform, so to speak, in other words, you wanted to be able to communicate with a lot of people, that was really hard to come by. I mean, you had to be on television, right, Mr. Darrell? That was about the biggest media in my day. You had to be on television in some way, and then people could see you. And if you were on TV, people were like, all your cousins and grandparents and everybody were like, man, I saw you on TV. Yeah, I mean, if they just happen to see you walk by or something, huh?
Two channels.
I mean, so it was hard to get on TV too, because there weren't two channels. Yeah, 13 and 15. That was kind of our two channels back in the day. And you even had the TV didn't even have a remote. When I was a kid, I had a knob. Yeah, if the knob came off, you could use pliers. That's right. That's right. And if it didn't quite come in, if you kind of put the knob in the middle, sometimes you could tune it in. That's the way things were back in the day. It's a very different world now. What's interesting about this world we now live in is every single one of you guys who are on social media in some way have a huge platform from which to share your ideas, your thoughts, the events of your life, all those things that have happened to you. And you see people who post things, say, on YouTube, and they'll get, you know, 600,000 views or something crazy. You know, some massive, and that's when it's cool. And then eventually you can get, you know, somewhat syndicated on YouTube if you get enough views, and then it's really cool. People start doing advertisements with you. It's really awesome. You can make money. But it's really relatively few who do that. But we have access to a large platform. And what's different about the world you guys are living in from the world I'm living in is you guys, I lived in when I was growing up, is you've got to understand what it means to be a Christian in that world. When we talk about things up here at CSM, and when you hear the truth of the Word of God taught on Sunday morning, you have to make an application. What does that look like for me to live every day in real life? So when I'm sitting here and I'm sitting beside my friends at CSM, or when I'm at school and I'm sitting in class, or when I'm on the baseball field, or whatever else it is, in that context, which is kind of that face-to-face context, but you also have to understand, what does it mean to live out these truths online? Because we have an identity online. In fact, every single one of you guys who is on social media in some way, or even if you have a phone and you're able to text, you have an identity in that world. You have a label. You have a personality. You might say you have a profile. Now, that profile is not limited to just Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever else it is. That profile is broader than that. It really crosses all of them. All of the different outlets for you to interact online. That person that you are is your profile. And it goes beyond just a particular platform like Facebook. It's who you are. So the question of this series is I want to ask two questions. One is, what is your image online? Or you might say it this way, who are you on social media? What kind of person are you? What do you look like to the world that you interact with on social media? What kind of person do they see? And the reality is, online, you can be all sorts of things that you aren't in real life, right? I mean, you can change that up and make yourself look very different in that world than you actually are in real life. But the question becomes, who are you? What kind of person are you online? The second question we're going to talk about next week is, what kind of influence do you have online? How are you influencing people online? Or either positively or negatively, because your influence can be both good or bad. So what kind of influence are you having as you exist and live online. So in both of these, when you look at those two things in your life right now, what I want you to think about over this next 2 weeks is, how is my faith in Jesus Christ impacting that? How's it changing the person that I am on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever other media you're on? Even when you send texts, when you have conversations online or on Snapchat, how is my faith changing the person that I am? If it changes the person that you are in this room, usually, because when you guys come to church, you kind of act a certain way, don't you? Because it's sort of what's expected at church. When you go to school, you act a certain way. What's going on, guys? You act a certain way at school, and you have a certain kind of character, a way you carry yourself at school, right? And then you also have a certain way you carry yourself online, the way you handle yourself when you're interacting with people online. So I want you to think about, over these next 2 weeks, how much is my faith changing that? How much does my faith inform who I am online? Not just in my day-to-day life, but who I'm online. We're going to answer those two questions. Well, the first one tonight is, what is your image? What is your image online? You might also phrase it this way, what is your identity? What is your online identity? What do you look like? If someone came to me and they had never met you, they just knew your Twitter name or something like that. We had somebody, Chris Reeder knew somebody. You guys know Chris Reeder? Emily's in our youth group. You guys know Chris. Chris met several people back when we were in the technical world working at ACS. He would meet people at conferences, and they all always knew him as that Chris Reeder. They never met the person, had no idea who he was, but they knew a lot about him because he tweeted a lot. You know, they knew the places he liked to go to eat, you know, they knew like Krispy Kreme or whatever. They knew a lot of things he did because of who he was on Twitter. They had never met him in person. So he had an identity. So who are you? So the question becomes, what's your image? What's your identity? And I'm going to look at that by looking at several important things about what the Bible would say about the kind of person you need to be online. The kind of person we need to be as we interact in our social grid or our online grid. And there's a few things I want us to look at. One is, as you interact online, you need to let your value be determined by Christ. You need to let your value be determined by Christ. Now, when we're active and involved online, a lot of times we draw our value from things like, how many people like the post I just posted? What did people say? So, you know, we had a lot of stuff going on last night because it's prom weekend, right? So a lot of people were worried about who commented on my prom dress? Who commented on my tux? I was looking good. Did they like it? Did they tell me how good I was looking? When I was in high school, I wore, I should have got that picture. I did wear a mullet, thank you. To prom, thank you. In a baby blue tuxedo.
Did you have a date? That's the question.
Whoa, is that bad? Well, back in the day, that wasn't so bad. Now it's pretty bad. She said what decade? It was the only decade, the 80s, right? Anyway, baby blue. If social media would have been in place then, my picture would have gone viral. Because I was looking good. Anyway. So I wore a baby blue suit, tuxedo. No, I my mom does. No, I was like, really?
I can imagine.
No, I don't have one to show you guys, I can tell you that. And I drove a white Chrysler Fifth Avenue with a vinyl top. Anyway, all right, we were sporting it going to prom. It was pretty awesome. But we care about who likes our photos, don't we? We care about how many friends we have. Now, that's become less of a big deal now. How many friends? How many followers? Not such a significant thing, but for a long time, when social media first came on the scene, that was the biggest thing. How many friends you got? Man, I got 600 friends, you know, or whatever. I got 800. You know, it was a big conversation with me with the guys when I worked at ACS, how many followers I had on Twitter. Because I posted like three times in a year. And so I had like 50 followers, and they were just kind. They just didn't drop me. But you know, I was following a few more people than that. But the reality is, we would discuss how many followers we had. Because the number of followers sometimes would in our minds make us think, well, then I'm more important. Because more people are interested in what I have to say. Because I have a lot of followers. So if you have a lot of friends, if a lot of people comment, a lot of people respond to the things you post, and you feel like that you're more valuable, more important. We do the same thing with the kinds of things we post. You know, so we'll post a selfie, and we want it to look good. We don't post ugly selfies most of the time, do we?
Well, any selfie.
Man, that's really bad. Let me post it. No. In fact, some people, if you take a bad picture of them and you try to post it, it's on. I mean, they're like grabbing for the phone, it's a wrestling match, all that kind of thing. It's a big deal. And if you post it and they don't like it, they'll go mark it as inappropriate content or something like that and get it taken off because they don't want that picture on there because it's such a big deal. And that happens a lot. You didn't know you could do that? Yeah, Kelsey, you can do that. That's kind of helpful. So,
wow.
So, but we need to find our value in Christ. That's where our worth comes from. It doesn't come from the things we post. See, if I were considering what I was interested in terms of response, last night my wife posted this sweet picture of us going on our date night.
And
I'm looking good. Just saying.
Okay, well,
isn't that sweet? And you know what's cool? Is look how many people liked our picture. 106 people. Miss Glenda did. Thank you. Yeah, 109. Thank you. I was wrong. But our tendency is to, listen, our tendency is to post things and then we're like, who liked it? You know, or we want to know how many people liked it. Man, I had 109 likes. Wow. You know, right? And that seems cool to us, seems important to us. And I even slightly beat out these folks. Where is it? Sorry, Jillian. Courtesy of your mom. Fabulous. And so you don't care. She's like, I don't care. Everybody should have liked it. But you know, but we got 105. We're done. Yeah, that's right. 105 likes over here, you know, which is awesome. You know, but that's, we can get caught up in those things. More people like my picture. You know, and then what it becomes, what social media can easily become for us, is an outlet to try to get approval and affirmation. And it can become a source for us of where we find our confidence, where we find our worth, our value as a person. It's very easy to slip into that process. In the same way as we can be at school and think, how many friends do I have? Like a face-to-face friends. And if I only have one or two, I think, you know, I'm just not that popular. And become discouraged. And we can draw our value from those kinds of things. Or, you know, when she posts, she gets 1,000 likes. When I post, I get 10. You know, and I posted a selfie. I thought I looked pretty good. You know, and then I didn't get that many. And we can start to compare and find our worth and our value in the response we get from people on social media. And what I want you guys to get tonight is, your value doesn't come from there. No matter what people, how people respond online, your value is not drawn from the number of likes or the particular people who liked it. Because sometimes the person is what we're really caring about. Well, such and such liked my picture. Whatever it is, right? And we're all excited because he liked it, you know. Or whatever it is, or she liked it. You know, I mean, Jillian was probably, Pastor Bill liked Jillian's pictures. You know, that's pretty, you know. Whatever it is, we may get fired up because of that particular person. But the thing is, guys, our worth doesn't come from there. Our worth comes from Christ. I want us to look at a couple of things here. First, In Genesis 1, the Lord said this. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, after our likeness. Now, when he uses our there, it could be that he's talking about the Trinity there, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or it could be a plural of majesty. Sometimes the king would refer to himself in the first person plural because he was too significant and too important for the first person singular of I. So let us make humankind in our image, after our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move on the earth. And so God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Guys, you have value because you are created in the image of God. And you know what? That's enough. That's enough. It doesn't matter how many likes you get, how many friends you have. You are made in the image of God. After our likeness, which means you're intelligent beings, rational beings. It means that we have the capacity to reign and rule. I mean, it could be a physical image, but that's not likely. We have no way to know that from the text. It's more likely in terms of his sovereignty over the earth, because he places us over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, over the cattle. We are given the ability to reign and rule in the earth. And so the point here, guys, is you're made in the image of God. And because you are made in the image of God, you are valuable. I don't care if you have any friends. And I don't care if you have a million friends. You are important because you're you. And God doesn't make mistakes. God made humans to glorify him. He made them in the image of God. And as such, we honor him by our very being, by our very existence. So first, in this kind of understanding our value or worth, we need to understand we are made in the image of God. And that in itself gives us value, gives us worth. And second, I want you to see this. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Look what he says. See what sort of love the Father has given to us. I like that opening statement. See what sort of love the Father has given us. That we should be called God's children. And indeed we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now. I love that. John is so personal. When he writes, it's so real. And what will we be? And what we will be has not yet been revealed. In other words, in the future. We know that whenever it is revealed, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. So the point here, guys, is if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not only you're made in the image of God, but you're one of his children. One of God's children. Now, that doesn't happen until you come to faith in him. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not one of God's children. You're just not. Now, you're made in the image of God, which by its very nature carries value and worth. But we become a child of God when we trust in him as our Lord and Savior. We enter into his family. And as a child of God, no matter what people say about you on social media, no matter how embarrassing, no matter what the worst thing is that you did, you're valuable because you're God's child. And nothing can change that. Once you put your faith and trust in him, you're a child of the King, which makes you a prince. A princess, an heir according to life. In fact, Paul talks about it in Galatians, that we are no longer slaves, but we are now heirs with Christ, which is pretty awesome. We are part of God's family. And that is transformative, guys, when you think about who you are. So don't let it be that you're chasing after value because you're concerned about how many people are liking your stuff, how many are sharing your stuff, how many people are retweeting your tweets. Interesting how we have a whole new vocabulary now around social media. But the key is, guys, you're made in the image of God, and when you put your faith and trust in him, you became a child of God. So don't shape who you are based on how accepted you are or how much people like your pictures. There's an issue, and I want to say this to you guys, this is important. There's something that's commonly seen, particularly in girls' lives, but it can also happen in guys, on social media. What will happen is girls will take a selfie. A lot of times in the mirror. Bathroom selfie. Well, a selfie will start out, you know, just like normal, like if you took it here in youth group. And then we'll see how many likes we get. And then, you know, so maybe she gets 40 likes. Oh, let's give her more than that. 150 likes. Okay? 150 likes. Pretty cool. So it's like, man, that's pretty cool, but... So she posts another selfie. Same kind of thing. She has 120 this time. Another selfie is like 100. And what will happen over time in some girls' lives, and some guys too, is the pictures get more revealing in order to get more likes. And now it's not just a selfie fully clothed. It's a selfie with a little more showing. Well, now that one gets like 100 likes, 120. So our number's creeping back up. Which means what do? Let's make it a little more revealing so we can get a few more likes. Don't let that drive you guys. Ladies, don't let that be your motivation. You're valuable no matter who likes your photos. And your value can't come from the response of people online. It has to come from who you are as a Christian. Because if it comes from what you're finding out from other people online, it will never be enough. And you will always have to raise the bar higher and higher and higher to try to get that better picture, that cooler picture, to try to get more likes, to get more attention. Don't let that drive you. Second one, let your image be shaped by Christ. Let your image be shaped by Christ. What does this mean? Well, let's look at 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, let's see if I can get this to move. When Samuel came to evaluate and look for to anoint the future king, he had all of Jesse's sons walk in front of him. And as they would all walk across, he said this. He said, when they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Why did he think that? Because Eliab was looking good. Probably big tall guy. And he walks on the stage like this. Samuel says, it's got to be the man. This guy is the king. Look at him. What did God say? Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Guys, the truth is, your image needs to come from somewhere greater than what people think of how you look. When I was in middle school and high school, I always told you guys this before, I was always the shortest dude. Where's Lane? I'm with you, bro. I feel you, man. I was there. And it's tough, man. Lane's an awesome guy. Y'all hung out with Lane? Lane is a great guy. But when I was in ninth grade, I was 4'11". I was cute, 4'11", but I was just 4'11". That was all I was. Right? That was ninth grade year. In the summer between the ninth and tenth grade year, I grew to 5-foot-something. Only I grew all I was going to grow. But I was short. And I played football, thank you. Thank you, Derek. Feeling the love. Still are. I played football in middle school. Eighth grade. They put me on the line. What do you mean that's a lie? I am this youth pastor. I'm not telling a lie. Dude, I was on the defensive line. And they put me against number 60-something. I don't remember what the number was. I just remember it was a big old 60-something. Biggest man on the team. And he was a man. I mean, this fellow, he must have flunked eighth grade 10 times. The biggest man I've ever seen, I'm thinking. But you know what they taught me in practice? They said, stay low and hit him hard. So I did, man. I got him. I was ready. The only time I got in the game, I was going to hit this fellow. I hit him more. And he just caught me and threw me to the side. I must have been on offense because he used his hands. It was a sad day. But when you're... Hey, I got over it. I'm not scarred, mostly. But when... we can draw our self-image from how we look, how tall we are, how short we are, what color hair we have. Maybe I didn't want to have this color hair. Lord, why'd you make me like this? Oh, man, I got freckles right here. You know, whatever it is. We can draw our self-image from those things. And if you watch what people post on social media, do they post ugly pictures usually?
Yes.
Most of us. Most of us want to post those good-looking pictures. We're like, let me see. Okay, you can post that. That'd be good. That'd be good. You know, right? Or we may look at it and say, don't you dare. Right? Don't you post that. Yeah, but all right, listen up. But we care about what gets posted online because we want to look good, because we're concerned about that image. And the point here, guys, is you can't draw your image from that outward appearance. You can't base who you are in terms of your self-worth and your image, the image, the way you picture yourself. You can't base that on what you post on social media or how people respond to that. You can't base it on other people's opinions. And you guys are at a season in your life when other people's opinions are a big deal for you. That's why everybody stresses about, or a lot of us stress about what kind of jeans we're wearing, what kind of clothes we're wearing, what am I wearing, do I have a new designer shirt? That's why y'all give me a hard time about my shoes, because they're weak. But I'm at an age where I don't care that much. I care a little bit. But I don't care as much as, I care more. I do care a little bit, but I don't care that much, right? Who said, yeah, you do? Thank you, Caleb. But the reality is, you come to a point where you get over that a little bit. No, you don't. Nobody fully gets over it, because everybody, to some extent, ties their self-image to their appearance and what they look like, what other people think of them. So you never fully get over that. But over time, really, most of us come to a point where we're not as caught up in those things. But you guys are at a season of life that's hard. Especially middle school, going into high school. Things are awkward, you know. Some of you guys' feet are bigger than you are tall. You know, you catching up with your feet, you know, whatever it is. Caleb over here has got 15 and a half inch feet or something like that. We're like a 13 or something. I'm like, dude, really? So, all right, don't call people weirdo. Listen up. Listen. But the reality is, people can hurt us with that, can't they? You guys ever been hurt by that? Have you ever been hurt by somebody because you're that guy? God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. And when Samuel brought this guy up, he wasn't the guy. You know why he wasn't the guy? Because there was another guy who was a man after God's own heart. And it wasn't about appearance or stature or any of those things. David was the man that God was going to raise up for his glory. Now when David showed up on the platform, it says he was ruddy, which means he had a reddish appearance. He probably had red hair and freckles. He was that appearance. It says he was handsome. He was a good-looking guy. But he wasn't all this guy. And God didn't choose him because he was a good-looking guy. God chose him because of his heart. The same way we studied in 1 Peter, ladies, don't be so concerned about the outward adornment, but the quiet spirit of the heart, which is precious in the sight of God. That's what God cares about. That's what's important. So where are you drawing your self-image? How do you view yourself? How do other people view you? I mean, are your posts constantly an attempt to prop yourself up and make yourself more impressive? Are they just another way to try to make people like you more or think you're all that? Because your image should come from something greater. Now listen to this, it's an amazing verse, and we got to move forward. Psalm 139, the Lord said this, or David said this to the Lord, "For you formed my inward parts, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." Did you catch that last statement? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Guys, that's true of you. That was true of you when you were 6 minutes old. It's true of you. It was true of you when you were 7 years old. And it's true of you today. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So when you look in the mirror and you say, "Man, God, you screwed up." No, He didn't. No, He didn't. God doesn't make mistakes. You were made well. "Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was not even one." God is awesome. And you know what? You are awesome. You are awesome. Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God who doesn't make mistakes. And it doesn't matter what people say on social media. Because you know what? Some people are harsh. Some people are mean. And your image and your self-worth doesn't come from them. It comes from a God who loves you and who intricately made you to be the person that you are. Let that shape what you do on social media. It should inform the way you think about yourself. And you ought to go into that world confident. Not because you're perfect, but because you're made by God. Because you're awesome. No matter what you look like or what you feel like, how tall you are or how short you are, what color hair you have, or any of those other things. You're awesome. You know, when one of the things I want you guys to catch in this is the speed of social media. That's something you guys have had to deal with that I never had to deal with. We're gonna dig into this a little bit more in this next point, but I want you guys to think about how quickly something gets out there. I mean, it's just an instant. When I was back in the day, when I was in high school, I was driving our Z28. No, anyway, Camaro Z28. It was Camaro. You guys can compare it to that. An 83 Camaro, T-tops. Anyway, 80s. That means nothing to you guys. But I was cool. I've got two back here. They understand. I'm driving our Z28, and I make a turn because I'm trying to drive by this girl's house. Been there? Yeah. So I turned down this road, and they got a pothole in the road. Like the concrete washed out. I mean, like this is not a little pothole. This is like a hole. And there's two cones there, which means all you drivers means what? Turn around and go the other way. But to go by this girl's house, I had to go this way. So you know what I had this great idea I would do? I'll go around the cones. I drove around the cones and dropped the front wheel in the hole, and the whole car bottomed out. Bam. Would not move. Stuck. Sad situation. So now, and this is in town, right down the road from her house. had guys from the neighborhood around there. They walk up. Man, you didn't see the comb? I feel like, I'm feeling real confident myself, you know. But they walk up. They're like, you didn't see the combs? Why people have been doing this. Why don't you go back the other way? Why'd you try to drive through? Well, these guys are sitting on the back of my car, bouncing it up and down, trying to get me to drive out. Off the chart embarrassing. But you know how many witnesses I had? Like four. Three or four. Like four. Hey, man. I was an English major. Four. I mean, three or four. So, I had like three. Appreciate y'all's encouragement. Three or four. Now, all right, listen. If you guys would do that today, how many witnesses would you have? Hundreds. You know why? Because the dude that's coming to help you is going. And he's videoing this. And before you even get out of the hole, he's done posting it online. And all your friends are like, really, dude? What were you thinking? Embarrassing moments now go way farther than they used to go. It's a much different world. And that was my world, the speed at which happens. So what that means is, guys, the decisions you make become so much more important. Let your choices be influenced by Jesus Christ. Let your choices be influenced by Christ. If you're gonna live in this world that moves at such a high pace, you have to use discernment. Now, the problem is your discernment is not fully developed till you turn 25. Scientifically documented, or at least, you know, argued, that your ability, that a teenager, a person's ability to discern the implications of their choices is not fully developed until you turn 25. That's why old dudes like me don't do all the ropes courses that are out there and stuff like that. Because we get the implications of our choices. That's why when you watch YouTube videos, you don't see a 40-year-old dude trying to jump over a car that's driving towards him. He knows better than that. You see a teenager whose frontal lobe is still developing because they don't get the implications of their choices yet. So what I need you to understand, guys, is your choices, particularly in this world right now, are huge. You have to make good decisions. You have to use wisdom. You have to apply the truth of the Word of God in your life, because everything you do, to some extent, is plastered all over social media. And before you know it, your mom's going, oh. Or your grandma's going, oh. Right? Because you didn't make a good choice. You have to make good choices. You have to use discernment. And I want to use this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just as an example, a basis for how you fundamentally make good decisions. Now, a lot of what I teach on, what we teach on CSM, is how to make good decisions. That's a lot of what we talk about. There's so many aspects of this, but just draw from this and it'll help you to understand. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it how? To the glory of God. Man, that will shape your decisions. That will change what you do. What's your motive? Is my motive in posting this to get my glory? So everybody be impressed with me? If it is, don't do it. Girls, I want to say a word here. I not see pictures of you immodestly dressed all over Facebook. I'm going to go ahead and lay it out there. Y'all don't need to be posting pictures of you in your bikinis. Everybody don't need to say that. Now, your mom and dad may not like it. I said that. I don't care. I'm telling you, you don't need to do it. Don't do that stuff. Summer's coming. Make good choices about the decisions you make. Okay? Choose wisely about what you're going to post. Make good decisions. Everything in the online world is not safe. Everything in the online world is not private. In fact, few things are. Make good decisions about the kinds of things you put out there. And the decisions you do, the choices you make, the places you go will affect you in significant ways because you're on a much broader, much more open platform than anybody else in the history of the world. When I worked at ACS Technologies, when we would interview somebody before they even came to the office, you know what we did? We looked on social media to see what they were up to. There was a guy that applied to come to work at ACS. We said, well, let's check him out. Went on Facebook, got all kinds of public pictures with him, and he's standing in a room with a bunch of guys, and there's a bong sitting on the table to smoke pot with. I think that's what it's called. I couldn't really remember the term. Anyway, I hope that's right. Anyway, shelter, praise the Lord. But he had it sitting on the table. He's at a party. You know what we did? This guy's not a good candidate for us. Didn't matter. He wasn't down there smoking it. Didn't matter. It told us what caliber of person this was. It's not the kind of caliber of person we were looking for. The people you hang out with will impact the way you're perceived. If they are doing things that dishonor God and you're with them, then you are doing things that dishonor God. Make good choices, guys. Make good choices. Make choices that honor God. Think, is what I'm doing in this moment going to glorify God? Because if it's not, don't do it. Now, I know your frontal lobe is not developed. It's all good. Use this simple test. Is this going to glorify God? Put it to the test. No? Then don't do it. Because somebody's going to be standing there videoing it. That's what it'll be doing, right? All the time. Make good choices. Make the choices that glorify God. So your image, guys, the way you're perceived in the world is big. I want to challenge you this week. As you start to go back to Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, evaluate how people see you. Who are you on social media? How are you perceived? If I met them and I use your Twitter handle, your Twitter name, or your Instagram name, what would they say? How would they describe you based on what you post, what you share? And sometimes, guys, it's not what you post, it's what you share. Even sports stuff. It's the music you listen to. Man, I favorited all these albums that are worthless. Oh, I like all these artists that use terrible language and dishonor God with their lyrics. Well, that's not me. That's just them. If you like them, that's you. Let that shape who you are. Think about it this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, we ask that you would bless us as we go out this week. Lord, teach us what it means to live a life for your glory. Lord, I pray for these teenagers sitting here, because Lord, we live in a world that's very different from the one I grew up in. And Lord, they have to deal with things that I never had to face. And Lord, things get put on social media, they get pushed out so quickly. And I ask, Father, that you would guard them and keep them. Lord, I found myself in context where I thought, oh, this is not a good place to be. And Lord, I know they find themselves there too. I pray, Father, that you would give them the discernment to recognize that and to move themselves out of it, to make good choices for your glory, to honor you with their lives, Lord, I pray their worth and their value and their self-image would come from your truth, not from the lies of this world. Lord, you have made them the children of God. I pray, Father, that that would transform their hearts and minds. Lord, bless us as we go into our groups. May it be a sweet time of discussion. And, Lord, may you be glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.